Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health, fitness, and life. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we explore the challenging and often eye-opening experiences of recognizing toxic relationships. At some point in your life, you'll be led to question the existence of some of your personal relationships. You might be feeling torn or conflicted about whether or not you should cut someone out of your life. If you've been left questioning whether you're in a toxic relationship, then this episode is for you. Join me this week as we dive into why I had to block that motherfucker. Adult relationships are hard. 2023 is a huge year of growth for my personal relationships. Some of those relationships are no longer in existence. Some have strengthened, and others have taken on a completely new form altogether. But one thing I'll share with you, though, is that I was not ready for what 2023 had in store for me. Now, every now and then, life gets tough, and that can leave you questioning whether there are any good people left in the world. I can assure you there absolutely is. But as you get older, you'll be forced to decide which ones deserve to be in your life and which ones deserve to be shown the door. Now, the purpose of today's podcast is to remind you who the fuck you are and what you deserve. And as your sister in Slay, together, we're going to make sure that whatever it is that's been eating you up inside never happens again. Last year, I was forced to cut someone out of my life. It wasn't easy, but it had to be done for my health, well-being, but above all else, for my sanity. When I was younger, throughout my late teens to mid-20s, I felt like nothing that anybody could say or do would faze me. I remember when I was 15, one of the popular boys in my class decided to come at me. I remember him saying, "Louise, you're so big-headed. You think you're so good." And I can remember pausing for a moment before turning to him, and I replied, "No, Mark, I don't think I'm good. I know I'm good." And with that, I just left him to it. Now, that young woman was a sniper. She didn't suffer fools lightly, and she sure as hell didn't need your validation. She was good all by herself. Now, I think that my confidence and strong sense of self definitely helped me to become one of the world's best athletes. But nowadays, it's a different story. Nowadays, I find myself questioning my emotions more than ever. When someone in my life is avoiding necessary conversation, I ask myself, am I being too pushy, too aggressive, too much? If I send a text message and I don't get a response, I'm wondering whether I'm the problem. But where did this second guessing come from? I can assure you, it's not in my nature at all. And my close friends will tell you that I'm probably the least likely person to back down in a confrontation. And I'm going to always provide the most aggressive response to any conflict that they may or may not be experiencing. I will forever be the person that brings a gun to a sword fight. That being said, last year, I found myself being the person holding the sword. I found myself showing up in relationships that I couldn't control and that I no longer felt safe in, and something had to change. The person is a family member who, to all extents and purposes, is probably undiagnosed with mental illness. Nevertheless, my interactions with this member of my family had been strained for a number of years and mainly consisted of us ping-ponging through a various spectrum of communication consisting of me trying to placate and validate their emotions and them bursting into a tirade of verbal abuse. Now, those who know me well know that I've never been and I never will be the type of person to engage in abusive back and forth over text message. I might think it in my mind, I might say it out loud, or I might even tell you to your face, but I'll never, ever leave a paper trail. So I was surprised when I started to receive daily text threats and abuse from this family member. After about 9 months of waking up to abusive text messages, I was done. I was done being an emotional punchbag. I was done giving this person daily access to my emotions. I was done giving a shit about their mental and emotional state. And I decided to reclaim mine. I blocked that motherfucker, and it wasn't easy. Now, I wish I could say that I blocked that motherfucker and didn't look back, but that would be a lie. I looked back every day for weeks on end, questioning whether or not I'd made the right decision. What if they needed to reach me for an emergency? What if they wanted to apologize? What if they were feeling alone and lonely? So many of these questions entered my mind on a daily basis. I wonder whether I'd gained any peace at all. But slowly and surely, I started to forget about them. And I started to remember me. I remembered how nice it was to wake up without knots in my stomach. How nice it was to not feel rage first thing in the morning. How much lighter my day felt, not having to carry the burden of concern for this human being that I did not give birth to. It was nice to feel lighter, but it did come as a cost, and that cost was grief. I realized that blocking this family member felt immediately like a loss. I felt like a part of me had died. I had no idea that when I blocked them, I would be faced with a vast array of emotions. But the strongest emotion by far was grief. And along with grief came empathy, as I didn't want them to feel alone. I felt guilty because I felt like I'd abandoned this person at a time of need. And I felt fearful that if I cut this person out of my life, they would hurt themselves or even die. Now, a word of warning, irrational thoughts will fuck you up, and too much empathy will also fuck you up if you let it. Empathy will make you take back that cheating ex. Empathy will make you forgive the unforgettable. Empathy can be, I think, the most underrated form of self-sabotage. And here's the kicker, narcissists thrive off of empathy like flies on shit. They need it to survive. And that family member definitely was a narcissist. It was empathy and fear that was making me second guess my actions. You see, we women can carry a lot. Have you ever noticed that whenever it comes to carrying the groceries in from the car, we women will hook like 20 bags on five fingers just to avoid making the second trip? When we feel empathy for someone or fearful for someone's life, we'll switch off the function that drives our self-preservation, not because we're stupid, but because we know we are strong. And when the empathy switch is activated, we'll do everything in our power to make it okay for the person that did us dirty, rather than do everything in our power to make it okay for ourselves. That's the fucked up thing about being a woman. Somewhere deep inside of us, we know we'll always be okay. We trust that we'll land on our feet. We know that we can rebuild our lives. But for some fucked up reason, in certain situations and with certain people, we choose servitude over self-preservation. We believe that we're all Marie Curie and that we're capable of healing and fixing everyone and responsible for helping those around us. And certain people will and do take advantage of that. The crazy thing about being a woman is sometimes our actions don't make any sense. Sometimes we know the stove is hot and can burn us. Yet sometimes we go back to the stove to test the temperature, just to check and see, hoping that by some miracle, the stove has somehow cooled down on its own. What we really need to be doing with that stove is cutting off the electricity at source, taking the fuse out of the plug, and putting that stove out on the curb for the trash man. What we should be doing for ourselves is asking, how's this relationship making me feel? Do I feel sad, angry, resentful, hurt, or taken advantage of? And if the answer to that question is anything but positive, then you need to take the measures required to remove yourself from the equation. That might mean blocking someone from your phone. That might mean cutting someone off financially. That might mean moving out of your house. But trust me when I say, the short-term physical cost of removing yourself from that relationship far outweighs the long-term emotional and mental cost of staying. But for me, by far the hardest part of letting go was the idea that I somehow failed this person, when in reality, this person had failed me and themselves on countless occasions, and I was done cleaning up their mess. Now, when you actually take a moment to reflect on the actions of the person that has failed you, there's typically a long list, a list as long as your arm, but for some reason, we women love to maintain a glimmer of hope and optimism. Well, let me tell you, help and optimism will fuck you up and prolong the suffering. Most people do not change. We have to start dealing in the currency of reality. You have to start putting yourself first and asking yourself the following questions. How's that person treated me lately? How have their actions impacted my daily life? How have they made me feel? And only after you've taken a moment to pause and reflect on how you're feeling can you really take the steps required to move forward with your best interests at heart. Now, once I empowered myself with reflection, I began asking myself the following questions. How do I want to start my day? And the truth was, I wanted to start my day feeling stress-free, being able to focus on me and showing up in the world as my best self. What do I want my day to feel like? And the answer was peaceful. After I clarified the answers to those questions, the solution was simple. I had to block that motherfucker. Now, here's the important thing to remember about relationships. Now, it doesn't matter whether those relationships are friends, family, or lovers. The thing to remember is that you get to decide the standards, the expectations, and the boundaries that foster mutual respect and love. And if those standards are not met, it's totally fine for you to distance yourself or remove yourself completely from the relationship. And guess what else is true? It's totally okay if that other person doesn't like it. The key thing to remember is that you're doing yourself a favor by enforcing some of those necessary boundaries. Now, when it comes to setting boundaries, there is a difference between selfish, selfless, and self-preservation. Selfish says, I only care about myself. Selfless says, I only care about you. And self-preservation says, I care about you, but not at my own expense. The key, therefore, is to aim for self-preservation. And if you can land there, then you're doing an amazing job. So next time you're confronted with a relationship that calls into question your sanity or a relationship that you know is toxic, remember that you can't heal in the same environment that hurt you. That concludes this episode of Slay. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on health, fitness, and life. And if you or someone you know has been dealing with a narcissist, then you can find more advice from the National Domestic Abuse website. It's www.thehotline.org. Now you can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media. Check out Slay at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify and leave us a review. You can get all of the tools and resources that are mentioned in our podcast on the Slay app. Download that now for free from the App Store and join our online community.